Dr. Ismail Zaid was born in the village of Beit Nuba, Palestine. His village, together with the neighboring villages of Imwas and Yalu, were bulldozed and demolished by Israel in June 1967. The Palestinian residents were displaced and dispossessed of their lands, the villages erased from the map. Today, on the site of the ruins of their villages, stands a national park named Canada Park, because it was built with tax-deductible dollars given by Canadians to the Jewish National Fund. Dr. Zaid joins me from Halifax to discuss the Israeli pattern of destruction of Palestinian villages and the effort to erase them, both physically and from the historical record, and counterposed to that, the Palestinian effort to maintain the memory of these places and to return to them once again. Good afternoon in Halifax, Ismail, and thanks for joining us at Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Good afternoon, Mordecai. Thank you very much.
How many towns, villages, Palestinian sites have been destroyed by Israeli colonization? Is there an accurate count?
The figures given by Salman Abu Sitta, who is the Palestinian historian and anthropologist, state 531 villages were depopulated and demolished in 1948 by the in accordance with the Zionist program formulated by Theodor Herzl and his followers to cleanse the Palestinians from their homeland.
And were there any similar destruction of villages subsequent to 1948?
Well, as you related, 1967, the three villages, including my own, Emwas, Niyalo, and Beit Nuba, were systematically bulldozed on the 6th of June, 1967, on the orders of Yitzhak Rabin.
And what usually happened to these Palestinian places after the people themselves had been driven out?
Many of these villages, after they were demolished, some were made into parks, like Canada Park. In fact, there are reports of about 130 in what became Israel Standards Parks. And the rest were, in fact, replaced. I mean, the best description of this is a statement made by Moshe Dayan to the Technion in Haifa. And he stated, Jewish villages were built in the place of Arab villages. You do not even know the names of the Arab villages, and I do not blame you because geography books no longer exist. Not only do the books not exist, the Arab villages are not there either, and they've been replaced. And he mentions a number of villages, the name, you know, a new settlement created in their places. So that's basically what was happening. They demolished, either replaced by parks or replaced by new Jewish colonies.
I have a memory, and I'm not sure if it's at all accurate, an impression that there was an Israeli sort of artist community that turned these Palestinian homes into a kind of exotica or decorative sort of maintain them as decorative in a sense without, of course, acknowledging who had resided there and what had happened to the people.
Well, that certainly happened in some places, but there are few and far between. But the bulk of them were, as I said, used as either Jewish new settlements or parks.
And this process of erasure since 1967, are there any examples similar of either sites, monuments of importance to Palestinian life that are now threatened with erasure and removal from physically and from memory?
Well, this has certainly happened. Many historic places have been demolished, and I mean, in about 20 years ago, in Jerusalem, an old historic cemetery was replaced by the Hilton Hotel, and recently a new program was formulated by Wiesenthal to put a religious tolerance site on a ancient Islamic cemetery, which is the height, of course, of hypocrisy.
And does that entail removing gravestones and digging up the signs, the physical signs of that cemetery?
Completely, completely. I mean, in this, the older cemetery where the Hilton Hotel stands, completely wiped out, and there were graves of massive proportion. It's a cemetery over 1,500 years old.
Now, on the other side, to combat this process of dispossession and denial of presence of the Palestinian people, what efforts have been made to systematically retain a record of documenting the names, the places, the history of the residents of Palestinian people in the historic land of Palestine?
Many Palestinians are attempting to maintain this through documentation and books of history. Professor Walid Khalidi and Rashid Khalidi and Salman Abu Sitta have written massive documented histories of these villages and towns and so on.
Do you know if these recordings are at all referred to in Israeli educational institutions at universities? We won't consider the more propagandistic construction of education at an earlier level, but are these books, do you know, in the Hebrew University as reference text or used in any course on the history of Palestine?
The reports I know of is that none of this is mentioned at all, and in fact, like as I said, Moshe Dayan said, geography books no longer exist that state this, and the whole teaching of in Israel completely attempts to deny the existence of the Palestinian people, let alone the destruction of these villages.
So there can be some documentation. Obviously, that's a work of difficult scholarship and important. Yet the readership for that would be more limited. Are there efforts to identify, mark in the present day sites which were sites of Palestinian residents, of homes, of cemeteries, as you were mentioning, so that anyone traveling today's Israel on the land of historic Palestine would say, they came to this place and they would say, oh, now there was a named village here, or there was something. Is there any campaign of that kind to bring it to the fore?
With an excellent campaign of, I think, compassionate people, the group called Zohrot have recently campaigned very strenuously to place the names of the villages Amwas and Yalu and Beit Nuba, where the Canada Park stands. Attempts by the JNF were to refuse this, but in fact there was an appeal by Zohrot's group to the High Court, and finally they have succeeded in placing the names of these villages in these parks, in this park, in the Canada Park. This is a tremendous, I think, achievement by a group who have a principle in humanity and integrity, I think.
And Zohrot, I recognize it as a Hebrew word meaning memory. But are there? Is this a Jewish Israeli group? Is it an international group of people, regardless of religion or ethnicity, who are active in this campaign?
Zohrot includes both Palestinians and Jews, but this is primarily a Jewish group. Yes.
Now, here are our markings. I want to go back in with the Canada Park, with the your village and two other villages, which were the ruined, bulldozed, etc. I had read somewhere that the Jewish National Fund, who created this so-called Canada Park on the ruins of these villages, did mark ancient Roman ruins that existed in this neighborhood, but of course made no mention whatsoever of the more immediate history of Palestinians. Is that the case?
That is exactly what has happened, and this is, of course, was one of the complaints of the Zohrot, is that there we have names of the Romanian and Crusader histories and so on and so on, but not the thousands of years Arab-Palestinian presence and villages in these areas. So this is, of course, part of the deliberate hypocrisy of the Jewish National Fund and the whole Zionist movement in Israel to deny the existence of the Palestinian people as much as they can.
Now, it's one thing to mark a site, it's another thing as well to document the presence of villages and historic places of residence of Palestinians. But what about younger generation Palestinians, those that are children of people born outside of their country or the towns of their grandparents or their parents, born in exile? How much do they know of this history?
Well, that is, in fact, the most promising and encouraging feature in the generations of Palestinians that have come about since 1948, is that you talk to any Palestinian child in a refugee camp in Amman or in Lebanon or wherever, and ask them where they come from, and they'll come either from Lifta or in Karim or wherever. Villages that have been demolished, but they come from these villages and they never forget. And this is, to me, a very exhilarating experience, because contrary to the statements by John Foster Dulles, who many years ago stated that the current generation of Palestinians will die and the new generations will forget, well, happily he was wrong, and the future generations of Palestinians are more fervent, in fact, than anybody else, and then even than the old generation. I speak at universities and so on, and all the organizers and who are very actively supporting the Palestinian cause against what has happened to the Palestinian people are young people who are second or third or generation from the 1948 era, and that's very, very, very encouraging. And I'm certain that the memory will continue, and that is the only hope we have, that the Palestinian people will ultimately have the right to return to their homes.
And that would be, in fact, the way of not simply maintaining memory, but continuing life, which creates new memories.
Absolutely. I think you've put it beautifully.
Thank you very much, Ismail, for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Mordecai, for the opportunity. I truly appreciate your great effort. Thank you.
Bye-bye. I've been speaking with Dr. Ismail Zaid in Halifax, and if you'd like more information, you can go to the Red Eye website and click on Current Show, and that will link you to a website of Dr. Zaid.